Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't see Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And I also really appreciate Nui Scruggs helping me out with something. There's a lot. I listen.
That's why I would do the trade,
Kevin. Yes, the $100 million that Cleveland would have to eat. Nui, back in the day, he said that there was a vehicle out there that they were trying to sell as a cross between, like, a hybrid. But he was like, "That's a minivan. Don't let them fool you." And I've always been like, "Which one was it?" And he just told me. I appreciate it, Nui. Thank you very much. That's awesome of you, guys. This is a very tough hits or misses this week.
Oh, is it just all Cowboys?
Feels like lots of misses this week as the Cowboys went through through a really tough one, Kevin. And one of the things I did not track, I'm so sorry I did not track this. Here we go. I'm going to do it live and on air with you.
Oh, my God.
Kevin, the top 10 passer records of the weekend.
Oh.
7-3.
Hey, turning it around.
Top 10. So 7-3 for passing yards. Now let's go look at the rushers real quick. 7-3 there for the rushers. 8-2. So they still, wow, running backs still have the advantage. No matter how good the passers were, running backs still have the advantage. I need to go update my information there real quick, Kevin. And that is done. I don't know exactly what the records are, but it's very, very much in favor of the passers.
Yes.
The running backs. Kevin, here are some notes, nuggets that I wanted to throw together for you. On average, how many 100-yard rushers do you think there are per week?
6.
5.145.
Hey, I was wrong.
Yep. Every quarterback that threw for at least 3 touchdowns this week won.
Okay. You know what? And that kind of makes sense, hence the lopsided nature of the weekend, why passers would be putting up some big numbers there.
13 quarterbacks threw an interception, 9 lost.
Including Dak.
Guess what, Kevin? Don't throw interceptions.
That makes sense. So throw for 3 touchdowns, but don't throw interceptions.
Right.
Got it.
And which, I mean, Dak has proven.
On it. I mean, you look at the last 4 games, significantly better when we don't turn the ball over.
Going into last night's game, I did not count last night's game, there were 18 people who had rushing touchdowns this weekend.
Okay.
7 had 2. Wow. 7 rushers had 2 touchdowns this weekend.
Man. Feels like Jonathan Taylor had 8 touchdowns again.
Jonathan Taylor, dude, is on a roll right now, and he makes my honorable mention for hits of the weekend. That's right.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Hold on. Hold on. Pause. Alec, do you think there's any way, if we provide new information for him, that we could move Jonathan Taylor up the list?
He better, because he won me both of my games in both of my leagues in fantasy. So.
I was playing against him.
Oh.
That's why.
Oh.
I have Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, you Philly fan. And
Chase Brown.
He did good.
And Javonte Williams.
And you still lost? That's crazy.
I'm on fire right now. I'm back, baby.
I was going to say, did you know that Jonathan Taylor was the first player in the history of the Colts to have 10 touchdowns or more in a 4-game span?
I did not know that. That is impressive. I got to give that whole team credit, though.
For sure.
The Indianapolis Colts, I was not buying it at all. Daniel Jones is making some damn fine throws.
He is.
Again, things I never saw him do at New York. And he, I don't know how much of it has to do with the fact that his running back and that offensive line are fire, but Kevin, they should be favorites for the Super Bowl. The way that they're playing, the way they're playing the game, they are more physical than you. They beat you up front. They have better speed. They're fast. That catch that Michael Pittman made, what the hell was that, dude?
That was unbelievable.
What?
Right now, Daniel Jones is this kind of a group between 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th for MVP with Jonathan Taylor, Jared Goff, and Jordan Love.
I'm not saying he should be the favorite for MVP, but I am saying I favor them, the Colts, right now, which is wild because coming into the season, nobody would have had the Colts on their radar.
Because they're boring. Yes,
they are. They were boring. They're playing a fun brand of football right now.
Much, much, much rather be the Colts right now.
So, Kevin, would you like hits or misses?
I would like the hits this time.
Same for you, Alec.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds good to me. Honorable mention, Jonathan Taylor continuing to make a case for MVP. 153 yards, 2 touchdowns, a receiving touchdown as well.
So he only gets honorable mention?
That was nice of him.
Oh.
You said he might make a run at MVP.
Also, honorable mention, which I only have 2 this week. Dallas Goedert caught 3 passes. 2 were touchdowns.
Only Dallas you're going to hear.
Did you just hear what I said? I know all you heard was a Philadelphia Eagle player. He caught 3 passes and 2 were touchdowns. Kevin, you love efficiency.
Can you imagine if he caught 2 passes and 3 were touchdowns?
No, I can't.
Okay.
That would be the most confusing thing.
Me neither. That is actually really impressive. Probably should have guarded him in the red zone.
How would he catch a touchdown? I want to come up with that. Okay. How did this happen? Because if somebody else catches it and then gives him the ball,
they're getting tackled at the one and they just pitch it back, the continuation of that catch.
That's not his catch.
But it's a touchdown.
But it is a touchdown.
Make it happen.
Is that the way that works? Help
jumps on a fumble, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know about the legitimacy of
if
what
it's fumbled into the end zone, that's illegal.
That's why it would have to be a lateral.
A lateral, which is not a catch, right?
True.
There it is. We just did it. Two catches,
I got
3
it.
Touchdowns.
I got it. Your quarterback throws an interception. Guy returns out of the end zone and he just rips the ball out of his hands and runs back into the end zone.
2 catches, 3 touchdowns.
Book it.
Maybe even 4. Who knows?
I bet our defense could give that up.
All right.
Dude.
I'm sorry. Is that rude to this defense?
Sorry that I left Jonathan Taylor off of the top 3. I did feel like number 3, CJ Stroud, dicing up the 49ers defense for 318 yards was pretty impressive.
Okay.
Did you like what he accomplished over the weekend?
Man, you know, we talk about every single week there's a result in the NFL that feels kind of surprising. That's high up on my list, even with the injury problems that the 49ers have.
Do you think that the reason that they did so well in that game is because their head coach, the Texans, that is, used to be the defensive coordinator for the Niners and also like coached that scheme
knew
everything about it and was like, hey, CJ, I'm going to make it easy on you this weekend, dude. All you got to do is do these things and you're going to win.
Maybe.
By the way, if you didn't see it, go back and watch that throw that he delivered to Jaden Higgins for his touchdown. That was a hell of a throw.
Okay.
He hasn't been great this year. And my buddy, who is a Texans fan, was like, I think he plays better whenever Nico Collins isn't on the field. He's like, I think that he zeroes in on Collins too much. And this time he would just spread it around a lot more. And look at it, dude. 5 receptions for Hutchinson. Noel had 5. Marks had 4. Berrios had 5. Like, it was spread out all over the field instead of one dude. So maybe that is the case for him there. Who knows? Number 2. James Cook. I don't know if you guys heard, James Cook had 216 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
So
he had more rushing yards than Jonathan Taylor.
This is one of the things that I always think is like a little complicated about how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook's 216 rushing yards were the most by a Buffalo Bills running back since
Rental.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
So there's that.
James Cook is a very good running back.
Sure.
And Jonathan Taylor's having the year he's having. Like, that's James Cook could be like, dude, I'm having a great season too.
But the advantage that Jonathan Taylor has is he has a quarterback that is not historically good. Whereas people will just default to Josh Allen, even if he's playing unbelievable or not.
That's a really good point there. Because, right, let's go look at his year so far. In the last five games, six games, 108, 117, 49, 87, 216. Four touchdowns in those six games. Like, it's good.
Sure.
Jonathan Taylor is just, like, that much better.
10 touchdowns.
And Jonathan Taylor's also receiving.
Yeah.
Just as well. James Cook, who usually does get into that action, hasn't much lately.
Right.
Maybe that's good for them. Who knows? Number one on the list, though, Kevin, for hits of the weekend.
Kyle Yeomans.
Man, it's always Kyle Yeomans.
I'm afraid it's going to be Bo Nix, but it'll probably be Myles Garrett.
The MF and Jets scored 23 points in the fourth quarter to win the first game of the year. And that kid who threw out that he hated his team.
I get it.
Do you think he hates them today?
Yeah, because, look, yes, and it's the same reason.
I hate this team.
Yes. And it's the same reason that you're going to hate the Cowboys, because they're going to beat Arizona and you're going to go into the bye and the trade deadline and be like, oh, here we go. And here comes Overshown and here comes Revel and blibbity blabbity. And you know you're just going to get kicked in the nuts again.
Everything you just said was valid, Kevin. Misses of the weekend. This is where things turn.
Hold on. One more pause. Alec, I know it would probably be unlikely. Do you think there's any way all three of the top misses are Cowboys defenders for just doing different things or not doing them?
I would respect it if it was.
Yeah.
I don't have, honestly, because I was so upset about the game.
Are they not part of
the Cowboys off this mostly. Oh,
we did it.
I think this is one of those where we know.
We did it.
We saw. Okay, the Cowboys did make it. All right,
we're the number zero. We're above all of the rest of them.
Honorable mention. They made an honorable mention.
Okay.
Because the Giants, Falcons, and Cowboys all gave up four passing touchdowns this weekend.
That good?
No.
No.
Well, not if you want that team to win. It's not good. Bo Nix didn't even have to run. He didn't have to pretend that he might run. They're like, don't worry. We got you, buddy.
Dude, that was really frustrating. Like, his comfort in the pocket.
Yeah.
How everything was just, he never felt pressure, man. Yeah.
He could wear that uniform again the next time they are at home because it's still clean.
Also, honorable mention for misses of the weekend, Baker Mayfield, no show in fantasy. Now, listen,
they still won the game.
His defense was good. It just stunk for my fantasy team. He scored me four fantasy points.
Gotcha.
Again, I'm going to win this weekend, Alec. Because of Saquon and his 33 points or whatever he scored. But that's a tough one to take for me. So that's more of a personal miss. That's why it went in the honorable mentions, though. All right? Last one. Trey Hendrickson, honorable mention miss, and his viability as a trade option for the Cowboys. That's gone now, right? Like, we can all give up on that one altogether.
Because of how we played?
It would have both.
Okay.
All three. And it would have been a one-year rental, and that's not what this Cowboys team needs with those picks.
Yeah.
Those first-round picks probably need to go to something that's going to be with this team for quite some time, very similar to, and also give it a better chance to win. Number three on the hits and misses of the weekend. Christian McCaffrey. He got locked up by the Texans, rushed for 25 yards in their game. Now, he did have three catches for 43 yards.
Yeah.
But the Texans said, you know what? We are not letting you beat us.
Yeah.
And that absolutely did not happen. So, number three there. Number two, Myles Garrett, five sacks and lost.
So, you know what? I don't know how often you think about this. This is another thing, much like your World Series factoid. I think about this tweet all of the time. Is that guy who is like, You remember when like every Tuesday or Wednesday would be like, Mike Trout's done something that hasn't been done since Babe Ruth, and Shohei Ohtani did something that hadn't been done since One Lake Jackson in 1894, and the Angels lost 9-3. That's what I feel like.
Yes.
With
Miles.
Yes, with Miles Garrett. That's what I feel like. 5 sacks, and it was like, no, we nothing.
This, and, do it. You know, you often talk about when you've done something like this, then you walk into the locker room and just stare at everybody.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
Anybody have something to say to me?
Yeah, I will listen to your apology and nothing else.
If I was him, I wouldn't even go into the, I just walk off the field in my pads, get in my car with my helmet on, drive home, lay down in the bathtub, still fully uniformed, and just cry.
Yeah.
Be like, I chose this.
Because what did the coach really need to tell you?
I demanded a trade. They offered me more money. I said, okay. And here I am.
Yeah.
And the number one miss of the week, he said what needed to be said, and his team responded and survives yet another week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif
and RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But Kevin, we missed out on getting to see Mike McDaniels fired this week. Because the Miami Dolphins won.
How did they win that game and win that game just in
decisively
destructive fashion? And Tua's all banged up and they whooped their ass. How did that happen?
He was one of the quarterbacks that threw for 4 touchdowns.
I guess that's how it happened.
Thanks to Jaylen Waddle and, of course, Malik Washington, like we all expected.
Yeah.
Devon Achane.
Yeah.
Ollie Gordon, dude, I don't know if you got a chance to actually watch this. Ollie Gordon on short yard situations, like, he was fire. That was awesome. He ran for like 4.6 yards carry, but every time it was a short yard situation, they were like, give it to Ollie.
Was that the most surprising result of the weekend, though? Not only that they won, but they won with Tua banged up and they won so emphatically and threw the ball all around the place.
I think the Jets winning was the most surprising.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins winning the way that they won definitely was like a what? So, but here we are with the Falcons. Like, they looked like they were going to be a good team, and all of a sudden they have fallen apart. Kirk Cousins is bad.
Can I tell you one more reason we probably shouldn't have been as surprised about the Jets winning? Can I tell you what I think is the craziest stat you'll hear all day?
Yes.
In the last 2 years, when the Bengals score 38 or more points, they're 1-3.
So they don't want to score 38 or more points.
No, but you know what? You can't do much about that defense. They've given up 27 plus points in 7 straight games.
Hey,
I want to see the Cowboys play the Bengals.
Steven just said they were 32nd in defense. So,
well, there you go. There's strong contenders from the Ravens and the Bengals. I want to see the Bengals and the Cowboys play right now. And I think the over-under should be like 70.5 points.
I think if you just put the defenses out there and didn't even put opposing offenses out there, points would get scored on both teams.
Probably right. Oh, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will circle back around to the Cowboys because it's time for Wanker of the Weekend.
Oh.
Bring a receiver in to the slot. Nick's back. Throws it out to Harvey. Wide open. Got away from Shamar James. Touchdown, Denver.
Man, I love some of these Brad Sham calls because he is all of us in just expressing absolute disgust with this defense.
At one point, I do remember hearing Brad go, and you know what? It looks like Dak Prescott's day is done. Joe Milton can have as much as he wants for the rest of this game. I don't want to see Dak back in this one. And yeah. I don't think it was disgust at Dak's play.
No, I get
it. It was like, we've had enough today.
Yeah, and let's go and fire up Wanker the weekend because there's probably still a couple more Cowboys plays and players that need to go into that. Jaden Blue, who so far is not good. He had a fumble. Thank goodness Brock Hoffman battled and recovered it. Did we get a crooked call for that? Maybe. Did it end up making a lick of difference? No. No, it did not. Bridges.
Unless.
They keep playing.
No, it didn't. It definitely didn't.
Bridges for getting absolutely clowned on that touchdown pass to Franklin that made it 37-17. I know we talked about whether it was the INT, the pass breakup that forced the punt. As the game went along, unfortunately, Bridges was getting exposed, and those two players stood out. And then also just the entire Cowboys defense, that their job is to get to the passer, as the first hit on Bo Nix came in the first play of the fourth quarter, and he still completed a 39-yard pass.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean he's good or... Yes, he's good, Kevin. The answer is he is good.
He is good.
And whenever you're good, when a bad team does things like that, you complete 39-yard pass.
That's true. And I just didn't want to undersell how bad our defense was.
No, I get you, man. I understand that.
All right. Now, we can go a couple of different directions here. I've got some more nonsense stories for Wanker of the Weekend.
Bob Nightingale just posted this. Can I say this?
I have no idea what it says.
So Hideo Nomo will throw out the ceremonial first pitch tonight.
Okay.
Oral Hershiser will throw out the first pitch before game four. Nobody knows who game five's first pitch will be, but...
You know why that is, right?
Sandy Koufax is in L.A.
The Dodgers thought the series would be over, right? They're like, we're going to sweep. Don't even bother. Sandy Koufax is 89. What are we doing? You're
telling me that he couldn't fire one in there?
You're probably right. And I do want to see it. I want them to treat him with the utmost respect. And if they're worried this thing is going to go sideways, don't do it.
I understand that.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. It just would be awesome.
Yes.
That would be really Nomo, Hershiser, and then Sandy Koufax, dude. Wow.
Finish it off with... maybe the greatest pitcher of all time. Certainly one.
One of the best left-handed pitchers ever to throw a baseball. Mike would agree.
All right. I'm going to tell you one fun thing before we get into the serious Wanker of the Weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Wanker of the Weekend, the South Carolina student section, because they all came down to the front of the stadium with about 2 minutes left, and the Gamecocks had the ball, but then they fumbled it, and Alabama scored a touchdown with less than a minute left, and whoops.
What? What are they supposed to do? Wait in their seats to storm the field? Yes, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
You should wait in your seats and then storm the field after everybody has left the field. All the players have left the field, at least the players for the opposing team.
It's a bold move to get ready to storm the field in a tie game. Like, that's...
Get ready to do it.
Okay.
It's all exciting. Right. Anything can happen.
So,
you think they went back to their seats after that, or do you think they
But Alabama scored with less than a minute, so they might as well just hit the exit.
Sit back in your chair and just stare at the field, like, what happened?
All right, see. So we brought you fun and joy in your life. Now it all comes to an end. So we have a story that is not funny whatsoever.
Is this about the holding call?
No.
On A&M that never got called. I'm still mad about that.
We still won the game. It's okay.
Okay.
Salina football coach Bill Elliott has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave. Now, depending on which way you think this is going to go or what you already believe, it's because A, they actually think he is involved with this, or B, it involves his son and it's just better to remove him from the situation. Because there's an investigation into his son, Caleb Elliott, who is a former Salina district teacher and coach, who has been arrested on charges related to alleged invasive recording in the Moore Middle School boys' locker room. So, a former teacher and coach in the Salina system, who just so happens to be the son of the football coach, was arrested for videotaping in the middle school boys' locker room. And I was just kind of looking at some of the reaction to this across social media. I want to make this very clear. I have no idea who did or did not know what, but there are a lot of people on social media who have already decided that the father, Bill Elliott, is guilty and knew about this as well.
This is from CBS News, Kevin, and this was 2 days ago. So I don't know if there's anything. They quote, to be clear, the investigator has not made findings in any respect.
Right.
But in an abundance of caution, recommended the district consider placing both employees on non-disciplinary leave.
And I get it, because can you imagine, like, if your kid was accused of, I mean, essentially being a pedophile, it would probably be really difficult to continue to do your job.
He recovered 12 photos from his phone.
Yeah.
All described as meeting the legal definition of that.
Yeah. And so, like, that would probably be difficult to continue along with your job. So what he did or did not know, I don't know. But I understand why they put him on leave. And I just wonder if this is going to be a situation, especially if the son is found guilty, that they're like, hey, this is not a sustainable situation. Like, even if it's not the dad's fault, could you not see if, like, your son got taken out of the district and then arrested and then sent to jail because he was taking inappropriate pictures of middle schoolers and you had previously employed him? I could see how that would be like, we can't have you here anymore, anytime, even if he didn't know.
And anytime there's a discussion.
Yes.
That's going to be brought up. Anytime, sure. Dude, I mean, honestly, it's unfortunate, but players respect. Like, they know that information.
Yeah.
You say something to them, the first thing that going, what do you have? How can you say that?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how.
It was just, it's shocking because, I mean, a lot of us, we're familiar with Bill Elliott.
I got a kid in middle school, too.
Yeah.
Playing football.
Yeah. I don't.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to come of this, but
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show. We're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Clearly a terrible situation that is in the midst of going down in Salina. All right. Let's move on from there. Other wankers of the weekend. Well, the NCAA has been in order to pay $18 million in a football concussion lawsuit to a former college football player and his wife because they found that the body, the NCAA, was guilty of not explaining to the player long-term effects of concussions. This feels like this will have a very wide-reaching precedent in terms of how many players are out there that could follow this same idea. He played for South Carolina State from 1977 to 1980. So this alone, I don't think is going to cause the fine, the NCAA, that much concern. But if this opens the doors for,
Yeah.
All of those people
yeah.
that have probably suffered through this exact same thing, this could be hugely problematic for the NCAA.
The other day, Adrian was watching the game and she saw, maybe it was Romeo Doubs or another player wearing one of the Guardian caps.
Yes.
And she was like, so those are available, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, absolutely available to everybody. Uses them. She goes, but not everybody out there wears them. Why?
Correct.
And I said, well, Kevin and I were sitting down. Maybe it was me and Mike. We're sitting down with a couple players, and we asked about those, and they were like, I won't wear them. They look dumb. And,
yeah.
And she was like, are you kidding me? They know. And again, if one player wears it, it reduces it a certain number.
Yeah.
If two players wear them and they hit each other, it's reduced even right. more because both players are wearing it.
Right.
Why aren't the helmets just made out of those in general? But this is interesting, this part of the conversation, in that they didn't know. They're saying they weren't told the possible outcome.
Which in 1977, I'm significantly more inclined to believe. Because if you said that like in the last, yeah. I don't know, 15 or 20 years, I'm like, get
whoa,
serious.
Yeah, exactly.
But in 1977, all right.
But here we are with players that do know.
Yeah.
Do have a piece of equipment that could help them. Yeah. And they're like,
yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
Looks stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you guys were locked in on the USC pay-per-view this weekend, but
all day.
Poor Tom Aspinall cannot catch a break. He had to wait and wait and wait for former guest of the show and definite jacknut, John Jones, to decide if he was going to fight or not. Then he finally gets a pay-per-view defense, and it ends with his opponent poking him in both of the eyes in a very competitive first round. It looked like this is going to be a hell of a fight. Double poke to the eyes, fight over in the first round, ruled a no contest.
Because the poke?
Yes. His eyes looked messed up. And so
I did see that.
They're going to run it back, but you're like, man, this is his chance to be like, I would have beat John Jones anyway. Like, I know people are never going to believe that unless the fight ever actually happens, but he could be like, this is my division. And instead it ends with,
got poked in the eye.
Yeah, with
that's the story out of it.
Yes, though. Yes.
And what makes you think if you fought again that he won't poke you in the eyes again?
You know what?
I don't even think I'd want to do it.
I have actually long held that the UFC's light punishment on pokes to the eye is something that I think fighters absolutely took advantage of. Because you'd get a poke and be like, it was an accident. And then they would only discount you a point maybe the second time it happened. And I'm like, if you poke somebody in the eye, that could be weird advantage.
And yeah, think about that for a second.
Sportsmanlike.
How much is that affecting you?
Yeah.
In the fight? More than 1 point?
Yes.
At least 2 points.
For sure.
Or three.
I don't know if you
could
keep,
be four.
I don't know if you keep going down this line how many points
how
it
many
is
points
worth.
How many do you think it's worth, Kevin?
2.5.
All right. Doesn't seem like enough.
And then, by the way, Adrian Peterson was arrested over the weekend for a DWI, an unlawful possession of a weapon because of the DWI. And I'll never quite understand. Well, like, don't do that anyway. Mm-hmm. But especially if you're like, oh, man, and I have a weapon in the car, like, feels like you'd be on your best behavior.
If you have, dude, you know
driving
what?
Driving the car, but.
You say this a lot. And now every time I'm doing something illegal in the car, I'm like, I need to drive.
I don't know if that's
even
part
more careful.
Exactly.
Right now, because Kevin's always like, be smarter if you have illegal things.
I just like, okay. So, and I realize the unlawful possession of the weapon is tied into the nature of the alcohol as well. But Minnesota authorities said he was also driving 83 in a 55 while he was drunk with a gun in the car. Make a choice.
You don't have good decision making when you're drinking like that, Kevin. That's why you're going 85.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, just a lot of poor decisions made right there.
But as Kevin has said many, many times,
don't break the law.
If you're breaking the law, though,
I don't know.
Drive safer.
Actually, I guess I do
but
have to own that.
But don't go under the speed limit, because then the cops are like, why is he going under the speed limit?
And it's a black sheep situation.
Exactly.
Yes. Look, first thought, don't break the law. But I'm always perplexed when people are double breaking the law. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wouldn't you be like, hello, officer?
See, that's the last thing I hear, though. The first thing you say about don't break the law gets distracted by the last part.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
Okay. Well, there you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Almost out of time on the play clock. Snap back. He's got time. Good protection. Deep ball to the middle for Ferguson. Intercepted. At the 25-yard line, the Longhorn, Zadai Barron, riding with Ferguson in double coverage. And the one thing Dak could not do right there, that is his first interception since the end of the Chicago game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking, Broadus. We were.
You want to know why I'm amazing?
Yes, please do.
I'm going to order pizza later.
Oh. Yep.
Where, needed a pick me up.
Where from?
I'm pretty good now, too. I'm one of those emotional eaters. Get depressed.
Tell me about it.
I have lots of emotions.
Stir it up. Let's eat our emotions this afternoon on the show.
Geez. Okay. What's your, when you're at work, what's your go-to pizza place?
Zalot's. It's okay, just down the road here. It's quick delivery.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fairly cheap. You know, low overhead there with that business model.
They've got it figured out.
Zalot's has figured out how to get the garlic and the grease to mix together right in the dough.
Okay, now I'm
very consistent.
I'm going to stay.
Very delicious. Bite is, and they got this pepper. I don't know. They put this pepper on it, and
love the pepper.
Really good.
The cracked pepper, the garlic, and the pepper.
What was the year that pizza companies got together and said $5 charge, but none of that goes to your driver, so still tip them? You remember when that happened, and they all went along with it?
Crazy. Like, hey, there's this thing called a service fee we're going to now put in here.
And you thought it was a tip, and then they were like, hey, but it's not, so you need to keep paying more, too.
Do you guys find yourself tipping it like when they... Like when people check you out, like they have that tipping thing.
Oh, I won't do it, but everyone asks you for a tip now. It doesn't matter what it is, what kind of service. It's just, here's an option to tip.
I get ball sacked every time on that.
You feel bad, so you tip.
I got to start figuring out how to pay my alma mater here.
You're getting ball sacked by the tip, huh?
I'm getting ball sacked by the fact that I was... Like, my family was in the restaurant business, and I know how, like, the service thing works. So I feel like, you know what, hey, I get
a dollar.
I get, yeah, you know, you put the bagels in the bag, I'll give you $1.50. You know, that
okay.
Kind
of thing. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's generous. Very gosh. Nice.
I'll be your bagel bag boy any day.
It's $1.50, boys.
You're $1.50.
It's not like I'm giving, it's not like I'm giving them $150.
Did you think?
Dang, you should have pulled last night on the post game show. Brian did have a funny moment where he was like, you
couldn't drive a nail up my ass.
Yeah. Talking about Leroy Glover.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
He was like, I was so nervous.
Yeah. We had a situation where, like, we were signing Leroy Glover, and Jerry goes, you sure we can give him $5 million? And I was so nervous you couldn't drive a nail up my ass. I'll say that again.
I meant to mark that.
Make sure you got that, Alex. You got that for me?
Yeah.
Drive a nail up my ass. I'll say it again.
My God. Perfect.
Well said. Well
like
said, Ryan.
Like your Eeyore
do
over
it.
Here.
I'm begging you.
Yeah, so
drive that nail. Oh,
no, I want to win this Friday. I want to win. Okay. That's why I'm trying to do this.
Okay.
Mickey's still going to dominate.
Mickey. I did.
Gosh, that's an all-timer.
That's an all-timer,
I'll tell you what,
man.
I did run into Mickey today, you know, and Mickey, I go, hey, how's the quarterback?
he broke his leg.
Yeah. Ankle. The guy twisted it. You should see. They got film twisting it. They broke it.
They broke his fibula.
They twisted it.
And I was like, hey, I'm really sorry about that, Mickey, you know? But anyway, that's what, like, the whole Leroy Glover thing, like, I said it with, like confidence, and I wasn't confident at all.
Okay.
I really wasn't confident, but here we are. But it worked out okay.
Do you think it was the right move to go ahead and let Brian Kelly say goodbye and buy him out and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, this is the questions that I now have, and I said this yesterday about this. Mm-hmm. I do not, I said to you guys in the pre-talk here, I do not mind giving money for NIL stuff. I just don't. But I do mind giving money when you make mistakes and hiring coaches.
Right.
That's the problem I have. I will give players money all day. Let me write it to checks. We're good. But when you tell me that you hire a coach and then you fire him 4 years later and you want me to give money for that, absolutely not. You know, I mean, that's a mistake. And we need to, you know, I'm not here to clean up your mistakes. And if you're not good enough hiring coaches, we need to get you out of there, AD, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Send $1.50 of your bagel money.
Okay, listen, I'm going to ask you then, Heggie. How did you feel about the whole Jimbo Fisher thing? When that thing went down, you're like, it felt like, yeah, we got to get rid of him, but you're getting rid of him for $70 million.
Yeah, and that's what I've always kind of gone back and forth with, because like there was obviously no salary cap in college football, but you wonder if the boosters are like, well, that comes out of your budget, like for the players. And so I understand that.
Like, if you're going to continually make mistakes, and we paid Coach O off too. This is something that we've done now back to back. In 8 years, we've paid off, you know, we're paying off two
coaches. $70 million, I think. It's 17 for 17, Orgeron and now like 53.
It's crazy that that money should go to our athletes. It shouldn't be going to some coach that you know, was just
failed
15, 16 games over 500.
Yeah. I'd have a blanket policy against it. This is just a waste of money. You know, we can find coaches in non-Power 4 schools or in Division 2 that are up-and-coming guys and are exciting and can bring ideas. Yeah. You don't have to introduce that kind of risk to your alumni to find a good coach, do you?
You know what? The thing about it is, though, you've got to be able to now compete with – you got to be able, and I know in the Southeastern Conference, you got to be able to compete with that. That guy at A&M is going to really get it rolling. I mean, he's done a great job.
Elko, baby.
But the guy at Ole Miss now, he's got a little of that edge to him. Like, he knows how to recruit. He knows how to use the money. If he got to a place that had a lot of money, man, but hell, I thought the same thing of the guy out at USC. I just wonder, but some of these coaches, like I say, $10, $12 million a year. And then if we sign them up for 10 years and we have these buyouts, I mean, never feel sorry for a head coach that gets let go.
Right.
Never feel sorry for the assistants. Never feel sorry for the head coach, because he's the one that's walking away. Hey, Michigan State, how about all the problems they've had at Michigan State? They had Mel Tucker up there. They paid him like, it was an incredible amount of money. Then they had that whole thing with that doctor and the gymnast. Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Think about how much money Michigan State the athletic department has had.
My goodness.
And then they're talking about giving another 50-something million to this coach that they have up there currently.
And why does Scott Woodward still have a job if he's hiring these coaches?
I have no idea. I honestly, that's the question. If I was right now in Baton Rouge on radio or whatever, I would be saying, well, let's now look at the great Paul Brown once said, I don't blame you. I blame the man that hired you. You know, that kind of thing. And that's, you know, whoever that was, those guys need to be looked at very closely.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Heggie, thanks so much for asking. Of course, we'll get more of Brian's thoughts there on the Brian Kelly story and, you know, start our reactions to the Cowboys' defeat here coming up in about 5 minutes. Shoddy's presser scheduled for 3:15 today.
That should be fascinating for sure today. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We having the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's execution, Kevin.
Execution.
I hate this team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.